Please stand as you are comfortable and able for the call to worship. There are voices in the street, not then and there, but here and now.
Challenging the powers that be, putting the case for the powerless in dialogue for reconciliation.
Picking up the pieces, sharing the crumbs, daring to speak. God hears those voices,
and God has seen those voices,
and there is healing.
Thank you. Please join me in our prayer of confession. Lord, you open the gates of righteousness that all may enter your kingdom. We respond by building another wall. We hear wisdom's call that all may have life in Palestine and all the world. We turn our ears only toward what we want to hear. She raises her voice for justice, and we interpret with excuses for what is happening is too complicated and distant from our realities. Forgive us for what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Please take a moment in silent prayer. We enter God's gates with thanksgiving, for the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever.
At this time, the children are invited forward.
Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, wow. This is a tough crowd right here. There we go. Thank you. It's a tough crowd when they already know all your stories. Hi. Here we go, a few more. So, what happens to these a lot? They do get lost. The other benefit of having your children up forward, they know what to do. They get lost a lot. So, because not everyone can see back there, what are these? Keys. Are they really keys? How many keys do you guys count on there? Can anyone count here? One, two, three keys, but three keys don't take up that much room, do they? No. What else is on here? Oh my, okay, don't say everything out loud. You've got a lot of, these tags? There is something interesting about keys, more than just one thing that I lose. Keys, for some of us, also have the opportunity to tell a story. Did you know that about keys? No, you didn't, did you? So on my keys, I have a few things that tell a story. I have a keychain here that was brought with the group from Guatemala when they came to visit us a few summers ago. And they brought me a keychain, and I remember this, and I pray for them every time I get my keys. We'll skip over that one. This, do you remember this one? Lily made this back for me in first grade at school. It's a rainbow bracelet with beads on it, and I think of both my girls whenever I see this and their love and my love for them. Let's see what else is on here. I also have another keychain that says, "Lift high the cross." And that also reminds me about God's love for me. So, and this is to help me not lose my key so often, but it doesn't seem to work. I brought another key that tells a story, though. Have you ever seen a key that looks like this? So this I got when I was in Israel and Palestine. And this key represents all of the keys that tell stories of the Palestinian people who lost their home in war. And they hang on to not this key, but other keys like it as a reminder that someday they may be able to go back to their home. And in the Bible, we have lots of stories about keys and gates and doors that all remind us of God's welcoming love for all of us. Who knew that keys tell stories? Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for all the reminders of your love. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you all for being brave and coming up here this morning. All right, you guys can go back and sit wherever you want so I can lose my keys.
The first reading of the word today is from Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones for judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Thank you.
Our second reading of the word this morning comes from the book of Proverbs. Does not wisdom call? And does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live." One of my first seminary classes, when I was living in Louisville, the Old Testament professor was this short-statured, fierce-looking woman with these large glasses and a thick Dutch accent. And at the start of class, she would occasionally climb onto the top of a table and raucously sing, "Does not wisdom call? Understanding raise her voice, bidding us to work for justice. Justice and love," and she'd get the elbows going. And any assumptions that I had about Old Testament professors were quickly dispelled, and come to think of it, this has been true of any Old Testament professor I have had. They have been known to disrupt the predictable and stand on a few tables. In our text this morning, wisdom, personified as a woman, takes her stand. Not on tables per se, but at the crossroads, beside the gate. And when we tend to think about a gate, we think about that physical, architectural structure controls movement of people in and out of certain places, offers security. And in this way, life at the gate was controlled, defined. And on the whole, I think this is how we've come to understand the book of Proverbs. In those brief sayings, we find the foundations of information fixed for a people who were confident about who and what they were. They were secure in what they believed about God. And there's something comforting in having what one believes about the natural order of the world and God, how to live happy and successful lives, confirmed for them in these teachings. But you see, the gate in biblical times also served as an opening for information, for stories and goods from neighboring towns and distant lands. Travelers shared of their journeys. Political figures made their announcements, and prophets delivered oracles. Religious leaders their teachings. Merchants sold their wares. Tithes and charities were brought and distributed to the poor. Disputes were settled and justice carried out. Everyday life also took place at the gates. And here is where we have woman wisdom who bursts forth unapologetically into the ordinary and the well-ordered with her call to life and justice for all people. You see, I heard her call one afternoon off a busy highway in West Jerusalem. Stretching up the hillside, you can see the telltale signs of growth, prosperity, modernization. Construction vehicles were hard at work on a high-speed rail to Tel Aviv, and you don't quite see it in this picture, but off further, those big cranes stretching into the sky, building new high-rise apartments to accommodate the demands of a growing population in Jerusalem. And in the distance, there are also government buildings, university shops. This is the gates. And deep in the valley, you can just see here the ruins of a small Palestinian village tell a very different story. The remnants of stone homes, a mosque, a freshwater spring that once bustled with life, dating all the way back to biblical times. Not these buildings exactly, but in the same location. And now they lay empty. An ancient community built around agriculture. Olive trees, almond trees, facing the threat of bulldozers and concrete mixers. There's a plan for demolition of these buildings to construct luxury housing units and upscale shopping centers. This is because for many residents in Jerusalem, this community, known as Lifta, is one of the hundreds of Arab villages deserted by the Palestinians in the 1948 war. And of course, it sits in very valuable real estate. And hearing all of this fit the narrative that I understood from history and stories that I had seen on the news here in the U.S. and in movies and popular media. Before I journeyed to Israel and Palestine, I knew very, very little. I mean, I knew that there were Jewish refugees from the First and Second World War, and they were seeking to create a homeland for themselves. I knew that familiar narrative that Mark Braverman describes as the David and Goliath picture. Israel as the young shepherd, armed with only a slingshot and his faith against the Arabs, the strangers depicted as violent, powerful bullies, determined to smash the small, brave, freedom-seeking nation. That's the story I knew. It all fit carefully into constructed theological narratives, too. That God promised God's land to God's people. The idea that the people of Lifta just simply deserted their homes to later be found by the Israelis, as though the people living there never existed. It fits into those well-ordered stories that this was a land without a people. And this seemingly innocuous testament to history stood. The land was empty, waiting for the natural order of modernization to take hold at the gate. You see, here was where woman wisdom took her stand, raised her voice and cried out, disrupting this fixed narrative that I had grown so comfortable with. She challenges us to learn, to listen with one another in a way that continuously opens us to the new ways God works in our lives and in the world. You see, while our group was standing there, six women walked up the road. We had no idea who they were, but they began to tell us their story about how they were generations of women whose families had lived here in Lifta before the armies came. They spoke of the 1948 war, what they call the Nakba, or the catastrophe, when 750,000 Palestinians, both Christians and Muslims, were disposed of and became refugees. The oldest woman of the group in her 80s, she's here all the way to this side, remembered when the armies came. of women and children running from the town as the troops fired with little more than those keys to their homes and the hope they would one day return. And most of Lifta's refugees fled the violence to the West Bank, to Jordan, and further if they could afford to. These women cried out for us, our group from the United States, to remember a different story, one that carries with it the possibility for the Palestinian people to return to their homes. For this was not a land without a people, and their stories were not silent. Palestinian Christian Quaker scholar Jean Zarou often says that structural and systemic violence is silent. It does not speak, but cries. When it does speak, it explodes with rage, and we need to open our hearts and listen so that we can hear not only the explosions, but also the anguish. Woman Wisdom cried out, and the anguish of the women was audible as they introduced us to the youngest woman of the group on the other side with the braid. She was in her mid-20s. They explained she was the first to be born outside of their home in Palestine. The family had immigrated to Australia, and they brought her here to see the homes of her family. The home that they passed the keys to from generation to generation so that they would remember the stories, the hope of return, the home and community where for centuries families celebrated birth and marriages, where they baked their bread and tended the harvest and buried their dead. The home where now graffiti and bullet holes scarred the fragmented walls. The gates of well-ordered narratives and histories can for us become a disruption and hope that risks the impossible of speaking of a future where God's justice is for all people. But to do this, we are all invited to open our hearts and to listen. The voice of Woman Wisdom. Her raucous, disruptive singing, her cries, her anguish calls to us. And in that voice, we hear God. We hear God when we using the words of theologian Nellie Morton, when we listen one another into speech. An interesting phrase. Write it down if you want to kind of go back to it a little bit more. We listen one another into speech. Morton uses a parable of sorts to describe what this short little phrase means. She talks about a group of women who gathered around a wise and trusted teacher. One of the women asked, "What must I do to serve God?" Question many of us have. The teacher replied, "You must love tenderly, act justly, walk humbly but proudly with your God." And another woman asked, "But really, how shall we do this?" And the teacher replied, "Sit with one another, speak together about your lives." The women thought this was a very strange way to serve God, and they looked at each other a little bit suspiciously, seeing that they were young and old, married, divorced, single, widowed, in relationships, not always valued and respected by others, but they were white and black and native, Asian, educated and illiterate. They were boisterous and shy. They were rich and poor, courageous and frightened. But one by one, they began to speak of caring for children and aging parents. They talked about marching in peace demonstrations, going to prayer meetings and revivals. teaching Sunday school. Speaking in governments and councils, they spoke of dancing, studying, listening, talking, doubting, trusting, of joy, of pain, of hope, and despair. And as they talked, they began to understand why their teacher had asked them to sit together. They began to see how each of them, in different ways, was serving God. The women began to think again about their own paths, implications of each step they took, each word they spoke, and each time they remained silent. And as they thought about their lives, they thought about those moments when they were silenced by outside forces or by their own fear. They thought about how some words are more welcomed than others, especially the words that bring comfort and not the ones that bring challenge. And they thought again about how they needed to hear each other into speech. They needed to take themselves and others seriously as agents of love and justice. And when they went back to their teacher to ask more questions, they found the teacher prepared to leave. And they were saddened by the teacher leaving. The teacher told them, "The wisdom I impart is born of love, of commitment, of respect, of courage. Its roots are in each of you. The fruit of wisdom is born and nurtured when you come together as agents of love, and you go out into this world. I am so thankful to you all, as I have shared my experiences and will continue to, of listening at these gates, to process out loud with you my assumptions and well-ordered stories that provided comfort for some while silencing others, and how they continue to be turned upside down. One of the greatest gifts of this congregation is that we come together. We listen one another into speech, and we also go out into the world, whether to Israel or Guatemala or Jamaica or our own gardens and backyards and neighborhoods, and we live this out, serving God together. We hear one another into speech, and we hear the voices of those made silent. We amplify their voices by sharing these stories together. And we hear the voice of God. Does not wisdom call? Understanding raise her voice, bidding us to work for justice, justice and love. Another one of the ways that we share these stories is in our prayers of joy, our prayers of concern. Though we try not to share the whole story, God knows what's in our hearts, but we do share the names of those that we would like to pray for in the upcoming week. If you have a prayer, hold your hand, and an usher will be by to share that with you.
Kate Stanford. And actually, this fits very well with what you preached about. I'm asking for prayers for a friend of mine, Kevin Beckford, who is running for Pittsburgh Town Board. Because he is a black man in Pittsburgh, he is unable to wear a polo shirt and khakis to go campaigning. He has to be in a full suit. People will not open the door for him. His campaign site was hacked and sent to an inappropriate site so that he could not raise funds. And his family has been threatened by a white supremacist group. in Pittsburgh. And Kevin is a man who would give a shirt off his back for anyone. He does not have a violent or mean bone in his body, but is now considering having to learn how to carry a gun to protect his family because of this. He is unwilling to stop campaigning because he believes it's important for the life of his children and other children in the community who are not white to have somebody who will stand up and be a voice for them. So I ask for prayers for him and his family, as well as Pittsburgh, that they are willing to stand up for this. There is a group there called Pitts Forward who is trying to address the racism in Pittsburgh. Thank
prayers
you.
For Kevin and his family, all the places in our community that right here throughout the United States and the world where the effects of racism touch deeply in our hearts and the ways we continue to work for that change. Thank you.
Sally Christensen. I play golf with a lovely, tiny little lady named Mary. Mary turned 80 on Father's Day. She had said she's going to have a big celebration for her 80th birthday. She's going to throw it herself. But she confided in me a week ago that she was just too sad to do that because her daughter was battling stage 4 breast cancer. And she wasn't sharing it with a lot of people because she couldn't talk about it a lot. And I felt very honored that she shared it with me. And I assured Mary that there would be a whole congregation of Presbyterians in Gates who would be praying for her daughter and for Mary and for her family. Thank you.
Prayers for Mary and her daughter, the entire family. Promise you'll have to stand. Rona, right up here. Your friend Anne. She's got her hand up.
Hey, first of all, I'd like to thank everyone who sent cards and called when I was ill this past few weeks. But I also would like you to continue to pray because I have another procedure to go through, two of them actually, and I can use all the prayers you can give. Thank you.
Prayers for you, Anne. And also, prayers for the Rochester City police officer who was shot, I believe, last night. We have not seen the news today. And also one of the regions where we were visiting while in Israel up in the Golan Heights has seen a lot of increased bombings and violence. And so the community there is in my heart. Yes.
I want to just say that this is John and our 57th wedding anniversary today.
Congratulations. All right, so not seeing any other hands, our prayer of the people today, we are going to say together. I share this with you. A lot of the liturgy of the service today came from various portions of my trip. This prayer was written by the Dr. Melanie at Duguid May, who was one of the leaders of our trip. And we as a group, there were 25 of us, we shared this prayer every evening at the end of our day. So let us pray together. God of compassion, we give you thanks and praise, for you are love's self and the beauty of the earth. Hear now our prayers for the peoples of this land, in the city of Jerusalem. We lift before you Christians and Jews and Muslims, all children of Abraham, now torn apart by death and dispossession, by dehumanizations. Do not hold the sins of past generations against us, God of mercy. For the glory of your name, deliver us and forgive us our sins, what we have done, and what we have left undone. God of justice, free your people from the fear that keeps us in the work of justice. Break the chains of prisoners on both sides of the wall. Feed the hungry, quench their thirst, alleviate their loneliness, and the occupation of hearts and minds and bodies, inspire the task of homemaking for all your people in a land of promise and plenty. God of peace, comfort all who suffer violence. Heal the hurt and hatred. Stir in us the spirit of reconciliation and the will to advocate for human dignity for all. Plant in leaders and peoples alike the dream of a shared future of liberated and liberating life in this holy land. We cry out our cry for hope, God, even when hope wavers. We cry out for the capacity to see God in times of trouble and temptation. We cry out for the eyes to see God in each other. We cry with the earth groaning in travail, standing on the promise of Christ's resurrection. We stand steadfast. Kindle our longing to embody the good news of your kingdom of justice and peace for the people of this holy land and for all your people and the earth. We pray in the name of Christ, our brother and friend, who walked this earth and who taught us to pray together using his words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Let us receive and celebrate with the morning offering.
Thank you.
most merciful and gracious God, from whose open hand we all have received much, we ask you to accept this offering of your people. Remember in your love those who have brought it. Remember also those persons and purposes for which it is given. Help us to exercise responsibly the authority you give us in your world. Let Jesus, your Son, be the pattern for all our dealings with one another and with the rest of creation, that it may promote peace and goodwill and advance the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Many different gates, not just Gates Presbyterian Church, but we know that we go in the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage it takes to get up and do it every single day from the power of the Holy Spirit, now and always. Alleluia. Amen.